Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, it's such a woneater. How wonderful, how woneaterful it is to be with you.
Mm-hmm. You're just doing that thing you do, Sarah.
Doing that thing you do. You know, for as much as we heard that song, I still don't know. The words.
You don't know the words? See, it's been in my head ever since I watched
the movie. I refuse to be a prisoner to this song.
I mean, the Golden Globes were a prisoner to it.
I don't even have my mic plugged in. That's how excited I am to be here today.
Oh my God, your sound is... I didn't even notice your sound is off.
Oh my God. I'm like, wait, where's my microphone? Okay, well, let's see if I can get this situated here.
Yeah, also, I was wrong. It got nominated for a Golden Globe. It did not win it. It won some other awards, but it was nominated for Best Original Song at the Golden Globes for That Thing You Do, which I will say. Whoa, look at that sound quality. No,
do I sound different, really?
Well, you sound better.
Okay.
It really didn't sound bad before. It's fine.
Doing that thing you do, but do. Now, see, now that I have the professional mic on.
Now you sound like a real professional singer.
Professional podcaster, professional singer.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about the 1994 movie? 1996 movie, That Thing You Do. What do you do, Jessica?
What's that thing that I do?
Yeah.
I would say if someone was like, oh, that's that thing that she does, is probably like sing to myself when I'm just doing random things. I feel like I would get called out for like, that's the thing you do. What's the thing you do?
The thing that I do is obsessively stare in a magnified mirror and make sure that there is no itty bitty chin hairs on my chin. And I have like 6,000 billion tweezers. And it's
a lot of tweezers.
Yeah, I have this tweezer. I have this tweezer.
You're sitting at a desk right now and you've pulled two tweezers out of nowhere.
Yeah, I have a third somewhere. I'm like addicted. That is probably that I do.
Do you use those like micro plane dermaplaner things where you like basically shave your peach fuzz?
Yeah, I do that too, but I have to get out the tweezers and the magnifying glass for the thing. I just like, it's just that thing that I do, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing you do.
Yeah, I think that that's what this song is about.
Pulling nares out with tweezers.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm blonde. It just bothers me, you know?
I was going to say, I can't, I've never seen a chin hair on your chin, but maybe that's just because you're just so good at plucking them out before I catch them, you know?
Yeah, I know. I need to, yeah, I need to give it up. Now, yeah, the 1996 movie, The Thing You Do, it's kind of a, I mean, it's a Tom Hanks movie, as in, like, this is his writing and directorial debut.
Yeah.
He is also in this movie. We are not strangers to covering Tom Hanks movies on this podcast. We've done a good amount. We've
talked about him. I'm wondering if we've talked about him more than any other actor at this point.
I think it's possible. I mean, aside from the shows that we have covered.
Yeah, but movies I'm talking about. I think it's definitely up there because we've given Tanks so many times, or Thanks. We've given T. Huh? Hanks, you know?
T. Hanks.
I feel like we made a joke way back when about that. Mm. But yeah, we love Tom Hanks. We cover Tom Hanks a lot. And this is like a one that he is well known for. I had never seen this movie before, and I think you said you hadn't either. Is that correct?
I haven't seen it. It was my ex-fiance's favorite movie, and in the 16 years we were together, somehow we never watched it together. No, we never watched it together. And I would say, like, this movie was as interesting as he was interesting, which was mildly so.
Yeah, the thing is, so keep in mind, when we talk about this movie, is that we inadvertently watched the extended cut, or I should say we watched the extended cut for research purposes because we're professionals, but realistically
not because that was the only version that we thought existed.
It's hard to find this movie, and so we ended up watching the extended cut, which is 2 hours and 28 minutes.
Yeah, it was long.
It's very long. The original version is only an hour 48. So, like, it's a long ass movie. Especially when it felt to me, Sarah, it felt very, like, not exactly rom-commy, but like rom-commy enough where I was like not expecting it to be so freaking long.
Yeah, it was. I think that it calls itself a comedic drama.
Yeah, musical, think, comedy drama, which, yeah, fair, you know.
It was not really a musical.
There's one song, really.
One and a half songs.
Yeah.
And I do think that I enjoyed it. I just think that we are both in agreements that the extended version is too long, which is probably why the scenes that were cut for the theatrical version.
Yeah.
So maybe my complaints are just that we watched the wrong version, which is fine.
It's fine. There are some things, like, we get more of Guy's relationship with Tina in the extended version, more band rehearsals. We get the bass player when he sleeps with that member of that other singing group. We wouldn't have gotten that scene, which, fine, we didn't need it. But I think one of the main things we would have missed out on was, like, Guy meeting up with Del Paxton, like, after the band falls apart. And I really feel like that was kind of a necessary scene, at least to set up the ending where he's staying in California, like, because he got a job. So, yeah. Like, to me, that sucks that gets lost in the theatrical cut.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, the last maybe 30 minutes of the movie was probably my favorite bits because I guess, like, it's interesting because, like, this movie does a good job of, like, taking its time and getting to know each and every character. And I think that it is – I do think that it at times – like, it's just like a magnifying glass on a slice of life type of movie. And I think that when it's like that and there's just not a ton of drama throughout it, it can feel a little slow. But the last 40 minutes, when the band started breaking up, I was, like, really, really into it. And one of the reasons was the opportunity Guy got was getting to interview the jazz musician and then submit those tapes. And then he was able to get his own radio show. And he seemed happy with that because I also think it's interesting how this show, like, really, or this movie really focuses on, like, everyone's different wants from being in a band. Mm-hmm. So we have a whole heap of people. We have like Jimmy, who is like the lead singer, guitar player.
Yeah, Jimmy is interesting because he also is like the lyricist for the band. Well, he's the one who wrote that thing you do.
One fucking song he wrote, and he thinks that he's the king of the world.
Yeah, the thing is, he wrote more and he wanted to play them, but like Tom Hanks was like, no, fuck off. Like, you're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of you.
You get one song, Jimmy, one song. Yeah.
But Jimmy turns out to be like the biggest a-hole of the bunch, which I thought was so fascinating because, in my opinion, for most of the movie, he was kind of just a nothing burger. Like, he's there and he's the lead singer. But I thought the most interesting aspect of this movie is that like the main character, or what I would say is like the main character of Guy, is the drummer, which is like very strange to have like the lead person be the drummer of the band.
I guess so. Like, he was kind of the voice or like the face of the band. Normally it is the singer. Like, nobody's thinking about the drummer. We think about like Kurt Cobain. We think about like Anthony Kiedis. We think about like all these like lead singers.
Yeah,
the lead
guy. Yeah. But everyone loved Shades. That's what they, because he had to wear, Tom Hanks was like, put on sunglasses, never take them off.
Well, it's because he was hot and
yeah,
like that's what it
He's
was.
The hot guy. So this is, Guy is played by Tom Everett Scott. And I guess this is like his kind of movie debut, is this movie. But can I tell you what I know him from, which is, this is the game that I love to play where it's so embarrassing what I know actors from, because it's never anything that is like, quote unquote, you know, good.
Okay.
I recognized him from the movie Because I Said So, which had Mandy Moore in it. It was a 2007 movie. And it had Mandy Moore in it. And it basically was like and Diane Keaton, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically like Diane Keaton is Mandy Moore's mom, and she wants to set up her daughter because her daughter has like terrible relationship history. So her mom sets her up with Tom Everett Scott, who plays Jason. And he's very much like a very like cold, but he's like an architect, so he's very successful, but he's
architects not as- are not successful. I am so over this trope. They are miserable. They are miserable.
This guy is
people.
Kind of miserable. But yeah. she dates him, but she finds this other guy that she likes more. So he's kind of the guy that like she doesn't end up with, you know, he plays the guy she doesn't, sorry to spoil it, but she doesn't end up with him. So that's what I recognized him from. But obviously he's a lot older, you know, that's what, like 10 years after this film. But yeah, what did you think of Tom Everett Scott as Guy in this movie?
I really liked him. I liked following him. I liked him being the center, the person that we follow. I thought that he was like very respectful. Like, I think that we see a lot of like people in bands being like the Jimmy who's like flirting with people that he's not supposed to, and like taking drugs that he shouldn't be having access to, or whatever. But like, Guy had a girl at home and he was like crushing on Faye, and he was just like there for the music. Like, that's it. And like, I really like that he was like a good guy. Like, I don't really know if they exist in bands and music, but he was a good guy. And I really liked him. I also thought it was interesting that I read on the IMDb that Tom Hanks didn't want to hire him at first because he thought that he looked too much like himself, which I do agree with.
The hair, especially. I think like Guy's hair gives young Tom Hanks for sure. And yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I totally agree with you, Sarah, that I was really taken aback by how invested Guy was in the music versus I thought it was going to be, as soon as I met Liv Tyler, as soon as I saw Faye, I'm like, there we are. She's the girl. And I thought it was going to be like a Yoko Ono sort of situation where that was going to break the band apart. But I was really happy to be wrong about that and to have Guy like He changes the entire band. He changes the Oneaters into the Wonders by joining. He's the one who puts them on the map, right? He's the one who brings up the tempo of That Thing You Do, which is what gets people so like vibing on it. So I really liked him as a character. I thought he was really interesting, as opposed to Jimmy, who is played by Jonathan Schaich. I apologize if I'm messing that up, but I don't really recognize him from anything else. Like, he's on IMDb. He's been in plenty of things. I just don't think it's been things I've seen.
Mm. His profile picture looks like he's like very buff now and does a lot of cop movies.
Yeah. Probably why I haven't seen him and stuff. He kind of looks like the guy from the Mindy Project, Chris Messina, I think his name is. He kind of looks like him. But yeah, so I thought Tom Everett Scott did a great job. But we got to talk about Liv Tyler, who we already talked about in Empire Records. She comes over to this film as well as Ethan Embry, who plays he's the bass player. I think TB, is that what they call him?
Yeah, because that's the bass, and his last name is supposed to be Play. It's kind of funny. Yeah. Once again, like what we were talking about, how nobody even knows who like the background people are in bands. Background as in like the bass player or like the second guitarist. But yeah, I think that I'm coming out of this month of January realizing that I really like Liv Tyler, and I like the way that she speaks, and I like her as an actress. So I think that that's my biggest realization of January.
Interesting.
Jam in January.
I think for me, Liv Tyler is a little one note, and I don't know if it's because she is typecast, and so she's always cast in these particular roles, but she always plays the like girl next door who you want to root for, who you want to be with your leading man, who's like very nice, and she's kind of soft-spoken, but when she speaks up, like I was cheering for Faye when she stood up to Jimmy, you know what I mean? Like that was a really great scene.
She's like, I don't want to waste any more kisses on you.
That was great. Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay.
Off. He was such a dick, and it kind of, in my opinion, his dickishness kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, like,
no, he was like this the whole time.
Well, when she was sick, like, Guy was the one taking care of her, and you're kind of like, okay, well, where the hell is Jimmy this whole time? But when he gets so upset at her, when she didn't even have anything to do with the fact that it on the TV it announced that like they were engaged and they weren't, like, he was such a dick to her. And I think we all kind of knew that her and Guy were gonna end up together, but I was like very impressed with her in that she followed that fucking band around. Like, she was like their assistant. She was there for every show. Like, you think you'd get fucking bored after a while of it, but she seemed to love it.
No. Taylor Swift's parents go to every single one of her shows and have been since she was like 15 years old. If you love the person, you'll go to all the shows.
Is Taylor Swift an only child?
No, she has a younger brother, Austin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I'm like, does he go to all her shows too? Because that's like so much.
I mean, a lot of the shows.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So then we have, so that's Liv Tyler. And then can we talk a little bit about Tina, who's played by Charlize Theron?
No, we can't, because she's still in the dentist chair.
That storyline, I don't know why it cracked me up so much, but her being like gaga over this dentist to the point where she's getting so many like checkups and appointments and stuff.
The dentist is attractive, so I get it. But my question is, like, what is her dental concerns? Because there's apparently something wrong with her molar. Now, what is going on? Like, she had to get a root canal and a crown. Now, I'll tell you what, like, that really does, it is like broken up into like four different appointments, but
yeah.
I'm just concerned.
She was helping him redecorate at one point too. His office.
Well, they went golfing together or tennis or whatever. Now, but like, does she have dental issues, or is the dentist just a scam artist and is trying to get her to come? Because I've heard,
like, does he do this all the time?
Well, no, I don't know. Like, I've heard evil things about dentists, that they just do work that they don't need to do to make money. Like, is this the issue here, or do they have a hots for each other?
I think it could be. I think it possibly could be both. In my opinion, the dentist is like, wow, your teeth are a little fucked. We're going to have to do like four different things to them. And also, I can't date you until you have nice teeth because I'm a dentist. Oh. And that does not look good on me. So we need to fix your fucking mouth first. And then we can fuck.
Now, okay, Charlize Theron, which I don't even think that's how you, I saw her
I think that's how you pronounce it because there's no E at the end, right?
No, she pronounced her name recently and like we all like make it sound fancier than it is. Like, I think that the way you pronounce her name is like Charlize Theron.
Theron, okay.
Theron. But I kind of think like Charlize, like, make your last name sound like Theron. Like, it's so much nicer.
It does sound anyway fancy.
I need her IMDb. Her mouth is closed, so I cannot confirm nor deny if she has nice teeth.
Well, I'm gonna scroll through some pics.
Does close her mouth often. Maybe she does have dental issues.
I mean, to be fair, we wouldn't be able to tell if she had molar issues just from her smile.
That's true.
But yeah, I do think it's both. I think it's like the dentist has a crush on her, but he's like, until we fix your mouth, girl, like we cannot date. I really like how they didn't, that wasn't the drama of the movie. You know, the drama wasn't about like, oh, Tina's, you know, sleeping with the dentist and blah, blah, blah. It was kind of like, guy doesn't give a fuck. Like, guy doesn't care.
He does, though. At first he did. Like, he wanted her to come to the shows and she was like, I'm too good for this. Like, yeah. I'm not going to be dating this guy who's going on tour. And also, like, she's definitely an opportunist. Like, she looks like a bad bitch. She's not going to be dating no appliance salesman. Like, she wants to be dating the town dentist that makes bank.
I mean, teach their own, you know, like she's like, guy works for like his family's appliance center, which seems to be kind of like failing due to a bigger corporation coming into town.
Yeah, Best Buy comes in and ruins everything. That and like Circuit City.
Well, yeah, this is the 70s, so definitely like a Circuit City or like a Radio Shack.
Well, no, there was this other one. What was it called? It was like in the shape of a boat. PC Richards. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lions and it's stores. Okay, go on.
So yeah, so she, it makes sense, right? Because he's like, he has a future and he's very determined. It's just like he's really into jazz and drumming and he drums. It seems like he practices like very, very often. But it's just when the opportunity presented itself with the Wonders, he took it and he left. And she was just kind of like, this is not really my thing. I'm not really into this. Yeah. She's not Faye, you know.
It doesn't seem like they like officially ended it.
No, that was the weird thing. It kind of just like petered out almost.
Yeah, it kind of just like dissipated.
Yeah, which is fine. And then we have Lenny, who is played by Steve Zahn, and he is the guitarist. I loved Lenny. Lenny was such a skeezball. He like would hit on everybody and it never worked out until it finally did. And then they just get randomly married in Vegas. And then my favorite was the ending, like the epilogue where it's like, and now he's single.
That makes me so sad. Like, all he wants is love and nobody loves him back because he's not like the quote unquote attractive guy.
Yeah. But I loved how like Steve Zahn is actually like a really good singer and like guitarist. And I think it was actually him singing. Oh. And I was very impressed. Like, I thought he was really, because he did like more like the backup vocals, but I thought he was really good.
I thought they were all very good because I know that they had to do like band boot camp for 8 weeks. So it seemed really authentic. Like, I know like the final cuts of the song itself wasn't played by them.
Yeah.
But it looked legit. Like, I think that a lot of people have like very good eyes for when people are actually able to play music or not. I'm not one of those people, but it seemed good to me, to the untrained eye.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were really good. And then, of course, we have the bass player, Ethan Embry, coming over also from Empire Records, who's just the cutest little sweetest sweet baby angel. He
wants to join the military. He has high aspirations.
Yeah.
Just to join the military.
And I love when he like meets that other girl from the other band and then they hang out and he like just completely skips something to go to like an amusement park.
Now, talk about work ethic. Like, yeah. None of them have it, except for Jimmy and, like, Guy, maybe. But none of them have it. Like, just go to work and play your little song and just show up when you're supposed to show up. You can't be going to the amusement park and hooking up with girls. You got to show up to work.
Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then how bad would you feel if you were Chad, who broke your arm, couldn't play drums anymore, and then was replaced in that band, immediately became famous?
I mean, it just speaks to Chad's talent, which he doesn't have much, I guess.
Did you recognize the actor who played Chad?
Well, at first I was like, I know this guy, but how do I know this guy? And then I did look it up and I remember that he was Frank from Friends.
Yes, he is Phoebe's half-brother from Friends, Giovanni yes. Ribisi. Loved him. I love seeing him in anything. And I was, when I saw, again, I like recognized almost the entire cast, which is pretty rare for me. So I was really excited about that. And then of course we don't even get to meet Tom Hanks as Mr. White until like halfway through the movie, maybe more.
Oh my gosh. It was so long. I really was like, where is Tom Hanks? And I even started like questioning like myself. I was like, is Tom Everett Scott Tom Hanks? And I'm just like, is my vision blurring?
Well, then we also got was it Colin Hanks? We got a Colin Hanks sighting. He was usher or something.
Yeah, you know I love Colin Hanks.
Yeah.
Once again, like, I think that a young Tom Hanks was like the most attractive looking guy.
Yeah.
So much so. I was obsessed with him. Especially in like the Big days. And have you ever seen Big?
I haven't.
Oh, we gotta watch Big.
I know,
I don't think it's a 90s movie. I think that's the
issue.
I think
it is, isn't it?
I thought it was like late.
Big movie.
I think it's like 80s, actually.
88, you're right. We can't cover it.
We haven't done it. But I thought that he was just like such a good looking guy.
Yeah.
Also, wait, have we ever watched the mermaid movie?
Splash.
Yeah.
I love Splash. And I would happily cover it. I'm pretty sure it's 90. It's 80s though. Yeah, it's 1984.
Okay. Well, those were the days where I found Tom Hanks the most attractive man
yes.
I ever set my eyes on. Colin Hanks looks just like him. I think his name is Frankie Hanks. We don't talk about him. He's a nothing to us.
We could talk about Rita Wilson, who was also in this movie.
Yeah. So basically, nepotism at its finest. Yes. Tom Hanks was like, I wrote this movie. I directed this movie. I'm in this movie. I will hire my two children and my wife. And I say, what is wrong with nepotism? Because I think it's okay.
If your family is as talented as his is, then why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I think nepotism is fine, honestly, truly. But anyway, we get to see all the Hanks. I don't even know. I can't recognize his daughter. I don't know who she was, but she was there somewhere.
I don't know.
Yeah. And the Colin Hanks played a bellboy and Rita Wilson played a waitress. And Tom Hanks was there as a manager, because what happened is they have the song, they play it at like the talent show, then they play it at this Italian restaurant, then they get onto the country fair.
Oh yeah. And he like, they basically, they get a talent promoter who like lives in like a
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, no, but he lives in like a camper van or something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So he's helping promote them and he's the one who gets them on the radio. And I love the scene where everyone hears themselves on the radio for the first time and they're all just sprinting down the street.
Oh,
and like, it was so sweet. Like, I found it to be so adorable. Like when you had Faye, who then runs into, I think it was TB, and they're just like, rah! And so then they run into the appliance store and they change every single radio onto the station. Yeah. I thought it was so sweet and like it just felt very like heartwarming to see like a little band like make it, you know.
That was heartwarming. I really did like it. I liked it in the beginning and I liked it at the end. So I suppose it's the middle that I was like, okay, like let's speed it along a little
bit. Yeah, I what I messaged you was I thought it took too long for them to become famous. Like I was like, I didn't need all these like intermediary steps in between. I felt like there were so many moments where I was like, wait, they're not famous yet? Like, we're still doing this?
Well, Jessica, so, it doesn't happen overnight. They're not plants.
But this is a movie, so anything can happen.
Wait, do you believe in industry plants?
Can you define that for the listeners who have no idea what you're talking about?
It's kind of like the phenomenon where like people become famous overnight and you're like, okay, how did this happen? Like one day we were living our lives and the next day Ice Spice is just everywhere. How? You know? Yeah. How does it happen?
And people think that like industry people just like hire these nobodies and then
promote them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I certainly believe in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
it's not that far out there of like a theory, you know.
You
like,
know who Ice Spice is?
I have no idea what that is.
Are you joking?
For all I know, it's a spice that you put on ice. I don't know. What is it? A person? Is it a band?
Yes, of
what
course. It's a person.
I'm gonna Google this.
Ice Spice. You know Ice Spice is?
No. American rapper.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here we go. There's something on Instagram that came up and it has Mario on it. So I have to click.
What? Mario. Oh,
it's now my computer's freaking out. Bitches be thinking they shit. And it cut off on the bottom and I can't read. But they ain't even the fart. What is this? Ice Spice posted this on Instagram.
Oh, well,
it's Mario smoking a blunt saying bitches be thinking they shit, but they ain't even the fart.
Oh, that's poetry.
Apparently Ice Spice's real name is Isis Najia Gaston. Gaston. Oh, Beauty and the Beast. No, I've never heard of Ice Spice. I don't listen to rap though.
It doesn't matter. You're just like not in the know, you know?
Oh my God. Apparently. Wait a minute. That's why she has released the singles Deli and Think You the Shit. And then Fart is in parentheses. Apparently that's a song of hers.
Oh yeah.
Which.
Oh, I think it's her new song. Actually. I think it just came out on Friday the other day.
We'll see who's not in the know now, Sarah. Who's not in the know now?
You. It's still you.
It's still you. So is she a plant? Is that the thing?
Yeah, like maybe she could be an industry plant. So okay. Anyway, wait, what were we talking about?
I don't even know.
I think we were them
finding out they were on the radio and everything. But what I loved was the guy who they like who promotes them, right? He realizes like you all are like, you're getting too big for me. Like, I'm not going to be able to help you out anymore. But what I want you to do is I want you to meet Mr. White, who's Tom Hanks. And he works for Playtone Records, which Playtone Records is like, that's big time. You know, this is a big fucking deal. Mm-hmm. And I respected that guy was like, wait, but we like you. You know, we want to stay with you. Like, I respected everybody in this situation.
Yeah, I agree as well. I thought that it was like very respectful for the original manager to be like, if you want to be big, then you need to, you know, work with somebody who can take care of that. And yeah. I like that. Also, it's like guy was like, I have to ask my other bandmates, and they were like, oh, you're smart. I'm like, no, like he's just one of five. Like, what are you talking about?
I think they respected the fact that he wanted to hear the opinion of his bandmates, I think.
Well, I know, but it's more so that like what, like how is he going to sign up for this and not consult?
Oh, yeah, bandmates? That's fair. Yeah, he wouldn't be able to, I don't think. But Tom Hanks is so smart. He immediately is like, you're no longer the Oneaters. You're the Wonders, and you're all going to wear matching suits and like their cool red color. Oh, and guy, you're now Shades. You always wear sunglasses. And if you want like, me to come,
yeah,
she has to be your wardrobe stylist.
Well, I think that's good. If she's on payroll, then she better be working, to be honest with you. Yeah. But then she had to like get lunch, which is like not anything to do with wardrobe.
I'm a stylist.
So. Yeah. So, anyway, I thought that, did you miss them being called the Oneaters?
No, because every time I was so annoyed that they would pick such a dumb fucking name. No one's gonna know you're the eaters. You look like the own eaters. Unless you put like a dash between one and durs.
Yeah.
No one's going to fucking know that's how to pronounce it, you dumb fucks.
Yeah.
And Faye and fucking Guy the whole time are like, oh, we're the only ones to appreciate the name. And it's like, no, you're the only two who are dumb enough to think that people will know that it's the Wonders.
I really do hate naming stuff. I think that it is a really laborious task that I don't like to be a part of. Oftentimes when I'm in things where we do have to name stuff, I eject myself from the conversation because I'd rather be anywhere else. But I am able to say I don't like something, which is not like a helpful trait, because then it's just me like sitting on my high horse being like, no, no, no.
Yeah, but you can say the Oneaters is fucking stupid.
Yeah,
right?
It's pretty, like, pretty bad. Pretty dumb.
It's bad in terms of marketing. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And so I thought Mr. White did like a really good job of being like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And they start getting like much more attention. Their popularity is soaring. And then all of a sudden, it takes a long time in the movies, but I'm going to just say all of a sudden that thing you do is like number 7 on the Billboard charts. And it's like massive.
Yeah. And I mean, like, were you bothered by the fact that we heard the song? It said it was only 11 times.
It felt like a lot of times.
It felt like 93 times. And I really did start getting sick of it. I'm like, okay, like, that's enough. But then I read a comment on YouTube that was like, it's just like a one-hit wonder because everybody at first loves the song and it plays everywhere. And then like it's so quick for people just to turn on something and go out of favor. And then you're like, I'm sick of this song. It's everywhere. It's just overplayed. It's overrated.
Yeah.
And it's very much like that sort of feeling where it's just like, yo, like these people were like, you loved this song a month ago and now you're talking shit about this song. So it was very reminiscent of that. However, I do think the song was played too much.
Yeah, I that is a really, really smart interpretation of it because I 1000% agree with that. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, this is a fucking bop. I am into this song. Like, it's really fun. But by like the fifth time I heard it on the movie, I was like, okay, we're getting to the part where it's an earworm and not in like a cute, fun way. In a way where like I'm scrolling TikTok and if I have to see one more person dance to like a specific song, I'm going to throw my phone across the room. Like, yeah. It just gets under my skin after a while.
Yeah.
And that's certainly the way it is with not even just one hit wonders, but like popular songs in general. Like, you just hear them so much and you just get infuriated by it.
I think that it is just like a phenomenon. Like, it could even be people or a trend or whatever.
Yes.
Like, I remember when we were doing shit like the ice bucket challenge, and the first time we were like, this is kind of interesting. And then like 30,000 ice bucket challenges later, you're like, this is the stupidest fucking thing ever. And how does it even help MLS? It does not.
Exactly. No, it is. It's a little annoying, especially like TikTok is a really good example of it too, because you scroll and you just see the same person. Like, it's the same things, the same dances, the same songs, the same over and over and over and over again.
And you're like, I'm over this. And then the next trend comes along, the next hit song comes along, and then you're like, this is so good. And it's a vicious cycle. You just do it over again.
Yep.
The song itself was written by the famous Fountains of Wayne singer. Mm-hmm. You know Fountains of Wayne?
Yes, I do.
His name was what was his name? I'm so sorry. I'm such a Adam Schlesinger. Schlesinger. And he was okay. He was from, I'm pretty sure, New Jersey, which is...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so this is the thing. Like, he was from... Well, no, now it says that he was living in New York, but he was born in New York. But anyway, Wayne is 1,000% a New Jersey town. We love that for him. And it says it was formed in New York City. But stop lying. Wayne is a city in New Jersey. Anyway, so they sang... the song Stacey's Mom, which arguably, like, everybody kind of just feels like that's a one-hit wonder. Some people say that they're just underrated and then people didn't appreciate their other hits. But honestly, can you name another song by Fountains of Wayne?
No, that's the one that I think of.
Yeah. And if you listen to Stacey's Mom, there's definitely, like, an air of That Thing You Do. Like, I don't know. It just feels like...
Similar vibes.
But this Adam Schlesinger was, like, really a talented musician, and he he went to Montclair High School. I knew he was from Jersey. Sorry. I'm just, like, so bothered because he also has this song called Hackensack, which is obviously a town in New Jersey.
Obviously.
But anyway, like, he was very talented. He wrote for a lot of different people. Like, a lot of different singers, aside from himself and aside from Fountains of Wayne. And he sadly passed away in 2020 COVID complications.
No, that's brutal. I probably knew it at the time. Like, I'm sure it was, like, big news at the time. But honestly, I think my brain has blocked out a lot of that time period for my own sanity. That's really sad. That's awful. Yeah, because I do think as much as we were, like, complaining they played the song too many times, if they had played it, like, half the amount of times, I think that I would have liked it a lot more, because it wouldn't have – it got stuck in my head for, like, at least a day or two, which, again, is, like, kind of the intention, right? But also it's very infuriating with the when you're the one who's like, that thing you do.
What did your husband Will like the song?
He didn't get to watch the movie with me. I don't know, he hates music.
Also, one more thing about Adam Schlesinger. He also wrote songs and produced music for the scripted comedy Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, no shit.
Yes, shit.
That's shit, not a fart. Don't forget it.
God, disgusting.
You're the one that's brought it to my attention.
Really good bob. And I do think that, like, they do a good job of making an earworm, and, like, people really love the song. I think it won a Grammy. It won awards.
No, I told you it got nominated for an Oscar, but it didn't win. It just got nominated.
Okay, a Grammy is different from an Oscar.
I know that. It didn't win a Grammy either.
What did it win?
It won nothing that's important. It won, let's see. It won a Florida Film Critics Circle Award. It won a California On Locations Award. Oh, I'm on the movie. Okay. That Thing You Do.
I'm talking about the song.
Okay, let's see. It was on the charts. It doesn't look like it won anything.
It won so many things.
Song peaked at number 41 on the Billboard Hot 100, was nominated for an Academy Award and a Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song.
Yeah, a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Love the Golden Globes is Hollywood's night of partying.
Okay. That are the Golden Globes the racist ones, or are those other people?
No, that's Oscar's so white. Okay. The Golden Globes is basically they sit at tables and they get fed food and tons of champagne, so that's everybody's like, yeah, everyone's like drunk and messy at the Golden Globes.
Oh, fun. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
We just had the Golden Globes air a couple weeks ago, and that's like the Jason Coy, I think that's his name. I don't know. The guy that everyone's like, oh, he told really bad jokes. Remember that guy? Remember that you were okay, that is definitely not his name. Okay, whatever. This it doesn't, I mean, like, this is not factual. We need what we need one of these days? What? We need, like, a fact checker person.
I would love that.
Joe Coy.
Okay.
Yeah, we need, if anybody wants to be an unpaid intern and help us with fact checking, let us know.
Apparently, sorry, I'm just looking at more things about the extended edition. So yeah, we miss out on the, like, guy and FaZe relationship, like, you know, kind of growing a little bit more. So I'm wondering if they cut out the scene where she's like sick and he like covers her with a blanket or something.
Okay. This is, we're going off the rails. There is no rhyme or reason to this podcast.
No, I just saw it and I wanted to say it. And then apparently we would also miss out on Tina's relationship with the dentist. And apparently in the extended edition, which I missed this, it suggests that Mr. White, played by Tom Hanks, is not only gay, but in a relationship with a man played by former NFL defensive lineman Howie Long.
Wow.
So.
I didn't realize that. I don't know. Somehow that got missed in the.
I mean, when we're watching a 2.5 hour film, we're going to miss some shit, you know? It's a long ass movie.
Right. So I overall did enjoy the movie. I think that if you want to watch like a band movie, I think like it's a good movie to watch.
I would watch the non-extended edition and just look up what happens in the extended edition online. Yeah. Just because like for this sort of a movie, it feels way too long. Like your 2.5 hour movies are like things like Lord of the Rings, you know, not things like a band movie. It just feels like unnecessarily long. We could have cut out a lot of the like rising to fame moments.
Liv Tyler was also in Lord of the Rings, I think.
She was. Yeah. She plays the elf.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a good elf?
Yeah. She falls in love with a human.
Which human?
Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, yeah. Did they make it work in the end?
I think so. Honestly, I don't remember. Don't shame me. I've seen the movies. It's just been a minute, and I've only seen them a few times. Okay, everyone who's like a huge Lord of the Rings lover, I don't know. I think they end up together, but I can't remember because in Lord of the Rings, elves are immortal. And like, you know, not every elf is the same in different fantasy worlds, but she's immortal, and obviously he's mortal because he's human, but he's like, we all know, don't even try to come for me right now when I say he is the hottest in those films.
Mm-hmm.
Like of all of the men.
Did they have like little half elf babies?
No, probably. I don't remember.
Okay,
did he die? I don't know. Are you gonna Google it?
What's his name?
Casually Googling. Aragorn?
Aragorn. Mortensen.
Aragorn. Yeah. Aragorn is the Lord of the Rings character.
Uh-huh.
The one wiki to rule them all. That's adorable.
Oh.
Let's see.
Okay.
Where?
Would you rather be an elf or a human?
I don't know that I want to be immortal. It seems really sad because literally we're getting so sidetracked, but like one of my biggest fears is like being alone, like everyone I love, like dying. So like, that's the reality of being an elf.
No.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're totally
it's
right.
True. Oh, okay. Her name is Arwen. So it looks like they do. That's right. What yes. Happened? I think she becomes mortal and she ends up with Aragorn.
She becomes mortal and ends up. Why didn't we do it the other way around?
So it says, so they got married. They married and she became the queen. And after marrying, she bestowed upon Frodo Baggins a gift, her place on the ships to Valinor. She bore Aragorn's son, Eldarion, and several unnamed daughters. Why the daughters can't be named? This is fucked.
I have a question. Why can't the son's name just be Steve? Why does that have to be some like fuckery name?
Oh my gosh. Walkman. Oh, he must have had something or other because she was married to him for 122 years. So he was not mortal then.
Okay.
But she died of a broken heart.
She died of a broken heart?
One year after he died, she died.
Oh, my God.
Guess how old she was?
2,000 years old.
Oh, you're close. 2,901 years old.
Wow. Did I tell you? I am so good with numbers. I was at a baby shower and had that candy count. And the number was 170, whatever. I guessed 168.
That's incredible. But also my question is, so did you win the candy? Was that your prize?
Yeah.
First of all, that was a lot of Dum Dum Pops.
Yeah.
Second of all, did you fly home with all of the candy?
Yeah.
You have a big thing Angel Candy at home. Yeah,
it's in the other room.
There were some Starbursts, though, which I appreciate because pink Starbursts are really good.
Yeah, they're all here.
Wow.
They've made the journey.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I don't think it was worth the $35 of having to check my bag.
Oh my God, you had to check the bag just to bring the candy home?
You know, like I also like there's other things I wasn't able to fit in there in my backpack, but I think that if I didn't have the candy and I bought like a new cribbage board, I think if I didn't pack those, then I would have been able to only have one thing. I don't know. They're Yikes. United is a scam.
United sucks.
But I'm
not sponsored by United.
No, if you want to sponsor us.
We would love that. We would say you're great, United.
What else about this movie?
Honestly, not much. I mean, obviously, like after Faye breaks things off with Jimmy and like the band kind of falls apart because TB joins the military. They end up with a new bassist who seems like really great and everything, like Wolfman or something is his name.
Oh yeah.
And then then Lenny goes and gets married in Vegas. So like the band just kind of falls apart, but Guy gets to meet his hero, like his jazz hero, and record interviews with him, and he gets a job. And then Faye and him end up together. And we get this epilogue.
Oh, I love epilogues in movies.
Yeah. Jimmy became a record producer. So he ended up like fine. He just wasn't with the what's it called?
Well, Jimmy started his own band.
Yeah. Well, he's better as a solo artist, I think, anyway.
No, he started his own, another band called the Herdsmen. So
I know. I'm just saying, I think he should be a solo artist.
I mean, yeah, probably.
He likes to have control.
Yeah.
Lenny, unfortunately, is single and he's like, he works as a hotel and casino manager in Vegas,
which I think is great for him. He can have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. TB went to Vietnam and he earned a Purple Heart, and then he works in construction in Florida.
Okay. A simpler life.
I love that for him.
Yeah.
Guy and Faye end up getting married, have 4 children, and live in Washington, where Guy teaches jazz composition. And you know what? I want to know, what the fuck is Faye doing? Why don't we get an update on her?
She's a mom, I guess.
Oh, she's a mom. We don't care.
One boy named Ryan and 3 unnamed girls.
So irritating.
Great movie. Happy jam in January.
Should we announce what next month's theme is?
Well, it's rom-com feb,
but it's a specific rom-com feb, Sarah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is Drew Barrymore edition.
Drew Barrymore.
And we know she got in trouble with the strikes and everything. Yes. However, she's also a 90s queen. So can't ignore that.
We'll forgive her soon, I'm sure, because the way that she speaks with her people,
until all that nonsense with the strike happened, I did follow her on TikTok and I found her to be very refreshing because she always felt like a celebrity who talks like a normal person, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is going back to like how people are so fair weather of, oh, we love Drew Barrymore. She like looks at people in their eyes when she talks to them. She feels like one of us. And then like she has like the strike thing. And everyone hates her. Everyone, it's just so like wishy-washy, this world. But anyway.
Yeah. So next month is Drew Barrymore month for Rom-Com Feb.
Yes. We are doing, do we just?
Just well, say yeah, it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Wedding Singer.
Of course. With a special guest.
And Never Been Kissed.
Yes. Which Never Been Kissed is going to be such a fun time. Because Sarah, how long has it been since you watched Never Been Kissed?
Probably a few years.
I watched this movie probably a few years ago at this point.
Yeah, I remember when you did, because you and your husband had this thing where you would put movies on a wheel and then watch movies, but so that like each of you would watch movies that the other one hasn't seen before.
Yes, and he had never seen Never Been Kissed. And I had not seen it since I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
So we watched Never Been Kissed. And let me tell you, we talk a lot about this podcast about like how well things age. That movie does not age well. And it's going to be really, really fun to cover it because it is like unhinged. So it's going to be a ton of fun. But when I told my husband we were covering it, he's like, oh no. Because he did not like it.
Okay. But like also Will is like King of the Libras, and he's like very like everything has to be well and just.
Yes.
And I think that it's fine. I don't think it's as bad as
we we'll see when we cover it, but we have a rom-com feb coming up, special Drew Barrymore edition, so we're really excited about that. And of course, if you somehow didn't know, we're covering Buffy, so check out that podcast as well. We have Felicity Mondays and Buffy Thursdays, so check out all that coverage. You can find me at the Jess Sterling, Sarah you could find at Sarah Ferguson, and us at Shit90sPod. If you want to send in feedback, shit90spod@gmail.com, shit90spod.com. You can send us in a voicemail. We love to hear from you. Anything else you want to add, Sarah?
No.
Okay. No, not today.
No, not today.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. It's been an oneater of a time.
That was a good one.
Have a good one, everybody. Bye. Shit90shows.me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.